There are two basic ways to be healed. One is by the gifts of healing or the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. And the word manifestation is really better, but we're familiar with gifts. The other is by faith. Now look at 1 Corinthians 11, and let's look briefly at the manifestations. We don't talk much about the manifestations because the manifestations of the Holy Ghost only work for some people. They won't work for everybody. Faith works for everybody. Everybody that believes the facts about healing can be healed. I want to show you the difference. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is, these nine manifestations are listed. In that list is gifts of healings. That's verses 8 and 9. Now, verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Anytime you see one of these nine manifestations, you know it's there to profit, to benefit. God doesn't do anything to destroy or hurt or harm. I mean, never, 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 never. So when you see any of these manifestations, it's for profit. Now, when you look down at verse 11, but all these worketh at one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, the key there is as he will. Dividing severally, or the 26th translation says, meeting each one individually as he wills, or we'd say as he deems appropriate, as he thinks is right or in order. This is what we would refer to as the sovereignty of God, God doing what he thinks needs to be done. It's separate and distinct from faith. In fact, if you follow the ministry of Catherine Kuhlman, she largely moved in these manifestations. She would preach on salvation and everybody'd be healed. I mean, she'd talk about the new birth. She preached a lot on the second coming and the end times, the rapture, and then people be healed. Well, it's unusual to be healed after we've discussed the rapture. You're usually healed after healing's taught, because teaching healing brings faith. But she wasn't ministering by faith. She was yielding to the Spirit as he wills. This is something he was doing. Now, occasionally we watch part of her film. If you've been here, you've seen parts of it. It's very interesting to show you the difference in faith and these manifestations. After they were healed, she would talk to them and ask, did you come to be healed? One man said, why no? He said, did you expect it to be healed? He said, certainly not. He said, I'm a scientist. Healing doesn't work today. And yet he was totally and completely healed. He had been deaf and he was healed. Now these manifestations are as the Spirit wills. It's what God deems appropriate in the situation. Now you won't figure God out to determine why he did that. Every now and then we get a glimmer, we get a hint, but we do see through a glass darkly. Thank God, God left himself room to do what was right, what needed to be done, without asking our permission. But I'm also grateful that he told us there are some things that we could do that we could have if we wanted them. Now, when Ashley comes to the house, that's my 7-year-old granddaughter, there's some things she doesn't have to ask me. We keep microwavables, particularly macaroni and cheese, in the pantry. And I can be in the other room and hear, you know, the microwave, it should go beep, 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 if you said it right. Even my bird knows that. The bird does the microwave. She didn't ask me. She knew they were things that were there for her. She gets out the tennis racket, takes it out of the case, heads to the yard with the tennis ball. She didn't ask me. She has a basket of books and crayons. She doesn't have to ask me. There are some things, some benefits that are just there. They belong to her. They're provided for her. She knows they belong to her. There are some things that are provided for you that God provided through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can just go in and receive those benefits, receive that great inheritance with your faith. Open the pantry, see the promise of the scripture, and reach in and take that with your faith. Now, the difference in the manifestation, faith is always as you will. That's when you decide what benefit you want and you reach out to receive it. God works in both ways. The manifestation is when he decides what needs to be done, and irregardless of how you felt about it, That's what he did. Now, those manifestations don't work for everybody. Look at John chapter 5. Let me show you one in the scripture. This is a great one because it's so clear. You remember these five porches at the pool? This is one of the early nursing homes, assisted living facilities. That's what it was. God, in verse 4, sent an angel down to trouble the water, and the first one in the water was healed. Now, that's just a demonstration. Demonstration of the power and ability of God. And then Jesus comes to this man, been sitting by this pool, verse 38, verse 5, 38 years. 38 years. Now Jesus asked him, verse 6, wilt thou be made whole? Verse 7, the impotent man answered, sir, I have no man, when the water's troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. He says, no, it can't happen, nobody will help me. Now you can already catch a glimmer, this man's not believing anything. He's not expecting anything. And yet Jesus told him to rise up, take your bed and walk. Immediately the man was made whole or healed. Verse 9, immediately was made whole. And yet he had already said, there's nobody here to help me get in the pool. I'm never the first one in. Only the first one gets healed and I can't be healed. Well, what happened? This is God manifesting himself, doing what he thought needed to be done. So now why did God do that? Well, sometimes we don't know. Most usually we don't know. But I can give you a hint here. How long this man been there?
38 years.
The bulk of 38 years. How many people do you think knew him?
A lot.
What would happen if somebody leaped to their feet, been sitting 38 years? You'd be in faith, wouldn't you? Sparks faith. There was a story of a man who was an alcoholic. His friend took him to a meeting, a gospel meeting. Drug him, literally drug him. He came home sober, never drank again. Totally healed, instantly cured of alcoholism. Well, his wife was an alcoholic. She was impressed. She kept asking, do you think that happened to me? Well, he didn't know because he didn't know how it happened to him. See, it was a manifestation. It was the sovereignty of God. God doing what he thought should be done. Manifestation is when God does what he thinks is right, what he thinks is appropriate. Now, you'll notice this man was healed and he's the only one. Now, why didn't God do that for the others? See, sovereignty doesn't work for everybody. It works for those God chooses. And there's no formula to predict how God chooses. Now, in the case of the alcoholic and his wife, he finally said, well, let's go to a meeting and see. He called his friend who took him to the meeting. They went to a meeting. She came home completely cured of alcoholism. And single-handedly, over a period of months, they won over 32 people of their family members to the Lord. An entire family saved because God chose one man who had no faith, who had no knowledge, no information, and totally released him from alcoholism. Oh, see, God knows what he's doing. And this says, as he wills, in 1 Corinthians 12. Now let me show you verse 13 of John 5. He that was healed wist not who it was. He can't be in faith. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. Can you be in faith and you don't know Jesus? Can you believe in the work of Jesus and you don't know him? They asked him who it was and he said he didn't know. This is a manifestation or gift as God wills. Now, faith works for everybody, every time. We major on faith. I cannot guarantee you a manifestation. I can guarantee you from the scripture that your faith will make you whole. It works every time. Now, look at John 15:7. You know this verse is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. This is not as the Spirit wills. This is what you decided that you wanted. When you looked into the promises of the scripture and you found out what God offered to you and you decided what benefit you needed and you said, I'll have that. It says, ask whatever you want. Whatever you want. Now, what did it say about the manifestations as the Spirit wants? Now, you notice you're full of the Word of God. God's Word abides in you. If you're full of the Word of God, you're not going to ask for anything strange, peculiar. I always say illegal or immoral because you're full of God. If you're full of God and full of the Word of God, you know him. And you know what he wants for your life. And you ask for those things. And you know we can ask for something and you're not quite certain. Have you ever done that? Not quite certain that's the right thing. You notice your faith wavers. You notice how hard it is to hold steady if you're not real sure. But see, if I have God's word in me, I'm sure. I'm sure this is right. Well, 1 John 5 says this is the confidence we have in him. We can only have confidence if we know him. Confidence to ask what we will. This is the confidence we have in him. We ask anything according to his will. Well, if I have his word in me, I know his will. Some people are not healed because they're not certain that God wants them to be healed. They let theology and religion tell them that God only heals some people, that he has a system, he knows what he's doing, and you just wait on God and see if he'll heal you or not. But the Bible doesn't say that. That is true of the manifestations. In this area, we have to wait and see what God is going to do. But it's not true of faith. Faith is, what do you want? What do you want? Now look at Matthew 15. Let me show it to you again. This is a woman who came on behalf of her daughter. Verse 28. Jesus answered, said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as I will. As the Spirit wills.
No.
What does it say? 15:28. Be it unto thee as you will. Now what does Mark 11:24 say? What things soever God desires? Whatever you want. Now you'd be amazed. And maybe you wouldn't. One little lady was facing heart surgery and she came. She asked to sit under the speaker, which a kind usher positioned her so she would get the full volume of sound available. Because she had some hearing problems. She was virtually deaf. But she didn't come to be healed of her hearing problem. She came because of her heart. She wanted to skip the surgery and be healed. Well, she called me at Thanksgiving. And she said, my family's driving me crazy. I said, well, how many of them came? She said, they all came, but they all always come. I said, how come they're bothering you today? She said, they're making so much noise. She always took an afternoon nap. Little old lady lived long upon the earth. And I said, well, go to your room, shut the door, and take your nap. She said, I tried, but they're so loud. Well, sitting right there, she came. She didn't come. She had no problem with being deaf. In fact, she's used to it. She liked it. She didn't like loud noises. And the Lord healed her. She didn't come to be healed of deafness, but he healed her. Well, it couldn't have been her faith. Could it have been her faith? She had her heart surgery. I'll tell you what happened to her. And she said to me, you know, they say people who have heart surgery are crazy for 3 days. I tried to talk her out of it. See, she set that in order. She planted that seed in her heart. And it came up. For 3 days, she's a Looney Tune. They had to strap her down, sit somebody with her all the time. And the family was, critically concerned. The doctor was beside himself. He said, never seen that happen before. There's no reason for that. I thought, there's a reason. She said so. But I knew the third day, she'd be fine. Come the third day, her mind snapped too. She's perfectly fine. She said, see, be it unto you as you will. There's some things that you can order for yourself and for your young children. Now look at Hebrews chapter 2. Isn't it nice to know the difference in how God works? To know what I can do to cooperate with heaven. Hebrews 2:4. She was a great little old lady. She lived long upon the earth, went to be with the Lord. God also bearing them witness with signs and wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to what? He decided. So God works both ways. He heals some through a gift, a manifestation. Without faith, without knowledge, this needs to be done. This is what we're going to do. And without our permission. Many times without our understanding. I was healed one time through a gift. Maybe more than once, but once that I know of. Now the gifts don't work as well in church people as they do in the world. Church people, the just shall live by faith. We're faith people. And faith is your best option.
That's right.
But a minister had been here, and he had offered to pray for anybody who was having some peculiar problems with their throat. He said, not sore throat, not this, not that, not the other. In fact, he said, you don't know what it is. Well, it was me. I knew it was me. I went, he laid hands on me. I couldn't even eat. I couldn't swallow. My throat wasn't sore, but I couldn't swallow. I don't know what was wrong. So we went out after church, and I ordered a hamburger, which I wouldn't normally do, but after I ordered, I thought, I don't know how I think I'm going to eat this, because I couldn't eat. I literally could not swallow. And I got thinking about that. See, and that was word of knowledge. Word of knowledge is a gift. It's in the manifestations. So I thought, this doesn't depend upon me. It was a gift. And instantly I was healed. He's the one that said, is somebody here with a peculiar throat problem that has nothing to do with sore throat, tonsillitis, laryngitis, or any other sort of thing? He's the one that described my situation. Word of knowledge. One of the nine gifts. And the minute I thought of that, it doesn't depend on me because the word of knowledge came and that's a gift, and gifts come separate and distinct from faith. I got it. Instantly heal. And swallowing's better than not swallowing. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to sit around and wait on a gift? Might never happen. Never happen. It might, but it might not. No, let's find out what we can do. Faith works, be it unto you according to your faith. Be it unto you as you will. Now look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. Oh, I'm so glad that God listens to the cry of his people. When you read this book, you know what God, what benefits are available, what God wants for you. Just like my Ashley, you can just take it. Just take it. Have faith in God, verse 22. Verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Now there are two ways that faith functions. Function by saying or by praying. The interesting thing about praying is once you pray it, you also have to say it. Now, when I came into Pentecost, I came in on this principle. It amazed me, of course, I was new and young. I came from denominational territory. These things were all completely new to me, that people spent so much time praying. And over again, I thought, why don't you just say so? Just say so. Because I was raised on Mark 11, 23. That's the principle that I had in my heart. That's what I knew. All you have to do is say so. Now, verse 23 is not talking about prayer. Verse 24 is talking about prayer. This is an either-or verse. This is the principle of faith. Whosoever shall say to the mountain. It doesn't say whosoever shall speak to God about the mountain. That's verse 24. Verse 23, I recognize a mountain. I recognize destruction. I recognize things out of order in my life that are not of God. I want this mountain moved. Oh, I recognize an empty spot where there should be a mountain. I want that mountain of finances moved right here. But I recognize I have knowledge, I have information, I have heard, I have words. Faith is based on words. It's based on the word of the living God. It's based on God's words. Now, I'm not talking to God about my mountain. I've been in the word, I've read, I know God, I abide in him, he abides in me, and this mountain is out of order. And I don't have to ask God. He said, Becky, if you recognize a mountain, you speak to that mountain and it'll move. He's already told me that I could do that. I'm not praying. I'm going to face this mountain. I'm going to say, in the mighty name of Jesus, you leave. Now, I did that all the time while all my friends prayed and prayed and prayed. I could understand that. And yet, either method will work. If you want to pray, you say, okay, God, I see this mountain. And I'm asking you in Jesus' name to move this mountain because your word says. And I give him the scripture. Now, I believe that I've received. I can do one or the other. Just like I can wait on a manifestation that I may or may not get, or I can choose to use my faith, which will always operate for me and bring me an answer. Now, when I begin to use my faith, I'm not waiting on any manifestation. I'm not waiting to see if anything good's going to happen. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to find out what benefits. In other words, I'm going to open the pantry door and find out what's in there. Now, Ashley can come to me and say, "Memes, I'd like macaroni and cheese." Nothing wrong with that method. Well, she doesn't have to. Because the macaroni and cheese is about this big and it says little kids. And it's hers. And the noodles and all those other, y'all know about those? Yes. You have to have those. It's called a grandparent survival kit. She doesn't have to ask me about that. But she can if she wants to. She doesn't have to ask me about the crayons and the color book. But if she comes and says, "Memes, can I color today?" She doesn't ask me about the chalk. We have whatever it is, a case of 30, 40 colors of chalk. She gets out in my driveway. Now, that may not suit you at your house, but it's fine with me. And she writes. We ran out of driveway one day. We went over to Joel's house and wrote all over his driveway. He called later in the day. He said, "It looks to me, I'm not sure, like I have my truck parked on an octopus." I said, "You do." We just went over and chalked away. She doesn't have to ask me, but it's okay if she asks me. Now, verse 23, we are talking to the mountain. We are telling the mountain what God has said. I'm not talking to God about the mountain. I'm talking to the mountain about God. You see the difference? Verse 23, talk to that mountain about God. Tell that mountain what the word of God has said. Verse 24, talk to God about the mountain. Make a choice. Now, once I talk to God about the mountain, I have to continually say, because faith works by believing and confession. In thanksgiving, I continually thank the Lord that that mountain has been removed. I'm going to pray it, but I have to say it as well. Now, it says, I cannot have doubt, verse 23. Now, doubt is of the heart. Doubt is when you hesitate, you're insecure. I particularly like the word that comes from the Greek, to hesitate. Sometimes we don't recognize doubt. We think, well, I believe. We think we believe because we know the facts, because we know He is the healer. We know He is the one that meets our need out of His riches and glory, and we don't recognize doubt. But sometimes I ask people, "Well, are you hesitant?" And they say, "Well, a little bit." That's doubt. Hesitation is doubt. Now, to waver or to stagger is doubt. But we would recognize that more readily. You do this in your driveway with your children. It's kind of fun. Draw your line with your chalk, you know. And see if you can walk on it and stay on the line. I'm going to tell you, that is not easy. And you begin to waver. You begin to kind of, begin to stagger. That's doubt. This is the confidence. Now, have you ever run into somebody that's always confident? It's always sure, always certain. It's aggravating, isn't it? It is to me. Because you feel so insignificant. It causes your doubt and your insecurity to manifest. Faith is always sure. Faith knows God, knows the Scripture, knows what God wants, knows what's available. And in confidence. Says, let me tell you one thing, mountain. And because there's no distance in the Spirit, I can see that mountain over there that's got $1 million on it. Or $114.12. I've seen the time a $5 bill put me over. Have you been there? Well, I have. And I see it way over there. And I say, "Money, you come to me in Jesus' name." I don't have to ask God. I don't have to ask Him anything because He said He'd meet my need out of riches and glory. And if I speak to that money, it'll come. God said I could do it that way. Now, a lot of people don't like that. I don't know why. It's the easy way to do it for me. A lot of people rather go and say, "Father, I come in Jesus' name. According to Your word, You said You'd meet all my need out of Your riches and glory. And we need $114.12. and I'm asking you to send that money by this particular deadline. And I believe that the money comes before the deadline. I just want to thank you for that. Now, because I have to continually say it after I've prayed it, I'd get up the next morning and say, thank God the $114.12 comes before the deadline. And the next day I'd get up and say, thank God the $114.12 comes before the deadline. I would do the same about my health. Health is the will of God. I do not have to consult God about my health. He's already spoken. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And with the words of my mouth, I can command disease to depart and health to come. I can say so. But if I'm not comfortable with that, I go to God and say, I see you said you want me to prosper and be in health. And I have this infirmity working in my body. And I'm asking that the infirmity depart and the healing which Jesus paid for be planted. And either way, faith will work. Now let me show you verse 23. The final says, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have. What does it say? If you speak to a mountain, you can have that mountain moved. It says you shall have. But look what it says if you choose to pray. Verse 24 at the end. You shall have. So the choice is yours. Speak to the mountain. Tell that mountain what God has said. You shall have. Speak to God about the mountain. You shall have. Now there's a real key. Shall not doubt in his heart. The heart and the head are separate and distinct. And you can be full of faith in your heart and have doubt in your head. You cannot always get your heart and your mind lined up and in agreement. That'd be nice. I like it that way, but won't always work. I heard of a couple that bought a house, didn't have any money, made a commitment, required a certain down payment, which they didn't have and knew they couldn't get. But he said, I just told the money to come. He didn't pray about it. He said, I told the money to come because he knew in the spirit, that's my house. And the money came. Well, after they moved in, his wife thought she needed new drapes. And she said to him, honey, I really have to have new drapes. And he said, I tell you one thing. I can't put one drape on my faith. He had just totaled out his faith, believing that money had come. His faith was exhausted. He needed time to rebuild. He says, I can't put one drape on my faith, not today. I love that. I got it from Brother Rodney. He says, we can't do that today. Don't ever say we can't do that. Because all things are possible. Just say, we can't do that. Say that to your children. They want something that you can't do today. Say, we can't do that today. It's very important that you don't undermine the confidence your children have in God. Some children grow up, all they know is we didn't have and we couldn't have. Mama said no. One lady in Walmart railing on her little girl that wanted something, let her know that they didn't have any and she knew they didn't have any money. I don't want you to ask me for that. And I knew all that little girl had ever known is, you can't have it, you can't have it, you can't have it. No, say we can't have it today, but Mama will pray with you. We'll come into agreement. We'll command it to come and it'll come. In Jesus' name. Joel got his first $600 bicycle that way. I thought we were all crazy. He wanted this bicycle that you buy by the part. Joel always shot for the top. Now, this is years ago because he's 31. You understand a $600 bicycle was quite a bicycle in that day. And you had to select all the parts individually and pay for it to be put together. Well, there's no way. I couldn't even fathom doing that. And he was determined, as he is always. So I said, I'll believe for half if you'll believe for half. I'll believe for 300, you'll believe for 300. He's just a little boy. Why, he thought that, nothing to that. Well, he spread the word that he's believing for money. And my daddy would call for Joel to come mow the yard. You cannot believe how much my daddy paid him to mow the yard. I said, you know what, Daddy? Next time you want that lawn mowed, if you'd call me. And it wasn't any time. before he had the money. Now see, all things are
possible.
All things are
possible.
And when you can't do it today, you cultivate your faith. You begin to read and to ponder and shore up your heart. And all that time your head may say, all that time I'm believing, my heart says we can do this, my head says, $300. Now today I have a $600 bicycle, it wouldn't bother me. But that's a long time ago, you know. Wayne made $1 an hour. I don't know where you started, but we started $1 an hour. That was a lot of dollars back, and that was a lot of money. And my head would not come into agreement. It would not cooperate. But it wasn't too long before Joel had his half, I had my half. And the people we live on, we're surrounded by bodies of water on every side, and the people on the other side of the water, whom we didn't even know, shouted across the fence one day, "Does your boy by chance mow lawns?" So I got a mower, but I just need somebody to help me. We threw Joel across the canal, you know. All things. See, your doctor may say it's impossible. It won't work. But all things. Now, how are you going to do your part? It's as you will. What do you want? You want to remain deaf? Won't anything happen? But all things are possible to those that believe with their heart, where the word and the promise of God is planted in the inward man. Ignore your head. If your head won't come into agreement, ignore your head. Now look at Romans 10. Let me show you another important heart verse. Both of these methods require faith in the heart. This is about the new birth, although it includes the fullness of salvation, because everything you need from God comes the same way. Verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and what?
Believe in
your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, not with the head, not with the mind, not with reason, not with logic, but with the heart. The heart takes the word of God, knows that God is true and every man's a liar, and believes that word. Now let's roam through the book of Acts. Let me show you. Let's start with Acts 19. Faith requires words. Paul came to Ephesus, and he said, verse 2, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" And they said, "We've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." They hadn't heard. They didn't have words. Faith, whether you're going to speak to the mountain about God or speak to God about the mountain, requires words. If you abide in me and my words. So he says, "Have you received the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "What Holy Ghost?" So Paul tells them about the Holy Ghost. What happens once they have heard? Verse 5, when they what? When they heard. Faith depends upon hearing. Now look at Acts chapter 8. It depends upon words. What can you do? What can I do? I'm not going to wait on a manifestation. I'm going to use my faith. Begin by hearing. Begin with hearing. Chapter 8, verse 6. The people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake. He spake, and they heard. And when they heard, they could respond. Faith begins with words. Look at chapter 10. This is Cornelius. Now, Cornelius was a godly man. He was doing everything he knew to do, but he didn't have enough knowledge. So God is going to send Peter to him, and he sends an angel to tell him where Peter is. Verse 6, the angel is telling Cornelius where to find Peter, to bring Peter. For what reason? He lodges one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee. He shall what?
Tell.
What thou oughtest to do. He's going to speak words. Look at verse 22. Cornelius sends three men to get Peter. Cornelius the centurion, the three men said, a just man, one that fears God, of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house to hear what? What can you do? You're going to use your faith? Begin with words. Now look over at verse 33. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded. Now look at chapter 11. Jerusalem asks for an accounting. And verse 13, this is Paul's report to the Jews at Jerusalem, he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house which stood and said to him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words. What's the first thing faith does, no matter what method you choose to say it or to pray it? Get the words. Get the words or get the word. Now look back at Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Talking about Israel, they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now if I'm giving you a report, you're hearing what?
Words.
Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Here's the question, verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Did they hear the report? What's the answer? Says yes. Did Israel hear? Did she have the words? So it's more than having words. But it begins with having words. And then it says, verse 19, didn't Israel know? Well, how do you know something? By hearing, you have some words. Whether you read them, hear them from television, through a minister. So it's more than words, but it begins with words. Well, let's look at Ephesians 1. Let me show you that. So I'm going to wait on a manifestation. Fine. If it doesn't come before you die, we'll bury you nice. That's the truth. So I'm going to use my faith. Where do I start? With words. Verse 13. Talking to Ephesus, in whom you also trusted. After that you what? Heard the word. The second step is to trust or believe in the word that you've heard. Isn't this easy? Do you believe that? Did God say that? Is that the will of God? Do you believe it? Someone said, what's the difference in faith and belief? Well, I don't want to be a smart aleck, but faith is a noun and belief is a verb. That's the difference. When you believe, you have faith. When you have faith, you have believed. Said they believed the word. We read Romans 10 where they heard and they did not believe, they did not obey. And yet it says, if I hear and I believe, I can be saved. But you know, you can hear, have the words, and really believe this is the truth. I have found the truth. Thy word is truth. This is thy word. It is the truth. God is true and every man's a liar, and die sick. Because having faith in the heart is not the end. Having the words is not the end. Having all of God's promises in the Spirit is not the finale. Now look back at Mark 11:23. But it is the beginning. Where would you begin? Please begin at the beginning. At the beginning. People want God to do something for them and they haven't heard. They have no word. They have no knowledge. Now, I'm not talking about grasping the entire book from Genesis to Revelation. Most people that got saved knew one verse. They knew John 3:16. It doesn't take volumes of word. We have to know something. Now, Mark 11:23, we're not talking about prayer here. We're going to speak to this mountain. We're going to hear what God had to say about the mountain. We're going to believe what God had to say. Then what we're going to do? It says, shall not, right in the middle, but say unto the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast to the sea, shall not doubt. No wavering, no hesitation, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Now here's what you're supposed to believe if you're going to use the say it method. You have to believe in the word, the words that you speak. It says, shall believe that those things which you saith shall come to pass. In other words, when I speak, it happens. I know if I speak to this, it happens. I know the authority and the power that God has placed in his word. And when I speak his word in Jesus' name, do you know when you use Jesus' name, it's the same as if Jesus said it? Yes. It's exactly the same as if he had said it himself. When I sign my check, you do not need my face at the bank. My name is me. My name is fully and completely me. And if you have my name, you have me. And if I have Jesus' name, it's as if he has spoken. And I'm going to speak to this mountain. I'm not going to pray about it. Although I could. I choose to speak. And I'm going to speak to this mountain. And I have words. I know what God has said about the mountain. And I believe those words. I believe those words. Now it says, I'm going to believe that when I speak the word, it comes to pass. Now that's all God did. You don't think he created the world and think, now I'm going to say light be and see if that works out. What do you think he thought when he said light be? The original Hebrew says God said light be and light was. That's clear, isn't it? God said light be and light was. He knew he could speak. He believed in the spoken word. When I say in Jesus' name, mountain, you move, it moves. I know that. I'm not insecure. I'm not uncertain. I'm not hesitant. I know that. Now, that mountain may not move today. But don't back down. You spoke. See, it says you're supposed to believe that your words come to pass. You're supposed to believe in what you said. One gentleman spoke to a lady that was mentally distressed. Her mind was not in proper order. And she had seizures and other things. And he spoke to that disease. And she didn't look any better. As far as medically, she looked the same. They sent her back to the institution, padded cell where she came from, couldn't be trusted. 3 days later, she was perfectly sound. But when they called him, he wasn't surprised. He knew that because he said, I spoke to that mountain 3 days back. He knew it would come to pass because he said it. He knew it would come to pass. He said so. Now, before it came to pass, she had a major seizure. And they called him in distress. Said, she's having a seizure. She's getting worse. He said, no, she's not getting any worse. That devil's leaving. I told him to 3 days ago. See, he believed in what he said. Write your question down so you don't forget it, okay? He believed in what he'd said. Even when the physical evidence said it's not happened, it didn't happen. The second day it said, and it's not happening. And the third day it said, and she's worse than she's ever been, having a major seizure. He said, no, the devil's leaving. You remember the boy that the father brought to Jesus that had been cast into the fire? When that devil took off and left that boy after Jesus spoke, they said, he's dead. Jesus said, no, he's not dead. He says, you hear, you know what you've heard is truth, and you know when you speak, it comes to pass. And I don't speak to see if it will work. And then it says, I'll have it. Someone said, well, I don't like that method. Then don't use the other one. Now it says, whatever I desire when I pray. Now don't misuse this verse. Listen to this. Whatever you desire when you pray that you believe that you receive. Doesn't say whatever you desire when you pray that you believe that mama can receive. This type of prayer doesn't work from you to mama. Whatever you desire when you pray. Now, what are you supposed to believe? When you pray, believe that you receive. When I speak to a mountain, I'm to believe that my words have the authority of heaven and that mountain moves. When I pray to God and say, I want to talk to you about this mountain, and you said in your word, by Jesus' stripes I was healed, and you sent your word and healed me, and no weapon formed against me prospers, and I take God's word to him and say, so I'm asking for those things that my body needs in order to be full of health and healing. And it says, I'm supposed to believe, not after I pray, but when I pray, I'm to believe that I receive. Now, let me trick you. Listen carefully. How many believe that you have on shoes? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. So we do not believe we have on shoes. We know. We know we have on shoes. Look at your feet. But faith is the substance of things not seen. He's asking me when I pray to believe in what I do not see. Isn't that what he's asking me? Whatever you desire, when you pray, I haven't seen it. I have no evidence, but I have the promise of God. And one translation says faith is a warranty deed. You have a deed to your house that says you own that house. I can buy a house anywhere across the world, never see the house. I can have an agent go for me. I can send my money. They send me a copy of the deed. That's my house. I have no sight, no visual contact with the house. All I know is I have this piece of paper that says, this is my house. This is my house. And if they wrote me and said, somebody's moving into your house, I'd say, call the authorities. I'll send you a copy of my deed. That's my house. You see, and that's all it's asking me. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe based on the paperwork, based on the deed. This is your deed to healing. It says by Jesus' stripes you were healed. So when I pray, I don't feel healed. I don't look healed. But God said I was healed. And I believe that right now present, the minute I pray, I am healed. I don't know it as far as physically seeing it like I know I have on shoes. But I believe it because I have the paperwork. And then what it says, it'll happen. Now there's a time span. This is believe in what you say, but if you pray it, simply says believe that you receive the very minute you pray. Not with any physical evidence. You have the promise. You've heard God speak. Pray and ask. Now believe that that's happened. Now we do that all the time. Your attorney calls us, the papers are ready. You know why you went up there? You believe they were ready. Did you see the papers? Why did you go then? He said they were ready. If your doctor says you have cancer, people have had cancer, thought they were perfectly well, went for a physical, thought they were doing fine, found out they were very ill, had no symptoms, no pain, no struggle. But when they came home with that medical report, they believed they had cancer. Their body says they didn't have it. Their feeling said you don't have it. Their doctor said they did. Why did they believe that? He said so. Now God says, I'm healed. He said, if you'll believe that, not after you pray, but when I pray and ask for my healing, from that moment on, even though my body says it has not happened and it is not happening, God said it has happened. So I believe God. I reject the report of my body, of medical science, and I believe what God has to say. And I believe what God has to say in the human spirit moves from the spirit into my physical body and makes a change. Now, healing comes from the inside out. That's why you can't feel it or sense it, because it's of the spirit. It comes from the Holy Spirit who quickens mortal bodies. The Holy Spirit's in the human spirit. And at that depth, you feel nothing most of the time. I mean, if you had a couple goosebumps, that's all right with me. But begins in the spirit, the Holy Spirit, and it spreads to the body. And you won't sense it till it comes from the spirit to the body. But all of that time you don't sense it, your feelings dictate that it's not happening. It is happening. Right? Now, if I speak to the mountain, what am I supposed to believe? That I can have what I say, that my words have authority, that once I speak the word of God to that mountain, it moves. And I guess people thought I was strange, but sometimes I pray, even in public, and I say, we'll have it this way, God, because we said so. And they go, you can't tell God what to do. You certainly can tell. God said if you speak to that mountain, and you're not really telling God what to do. He didn't put the mountain there anyway. He's a good God. If he puts it there, you want it there. It'll have vistas. It'll have views. It'll be great. You're not commanding or demanding of God. You're demanding of the one that put that demonic mountain there, that put that diseased mountain there, that put that poverty-stricken mountain there. You're demanding that Satan take up his goods and go home. And you're demanding in the name of Jesus, you believe your words are honored in heaven. But now if I choose to talk to God about it, if I choose to pray, what am I to believe? Did I receive, and when do I receive? When I feel something? When I pray. And both it says it shall, you shall, you shall, you shall. What does shall mean? Now, that mountain may not move instantly. Your body may not register any difference. What are you going to do? Continue to believe. How's the best way to believe? Continue to speak. Just keep speaking. Say, thank God. I look at my mountain and say, you know your days here are numbered. Say, it is over. I don't feel any different. Checkbook doesn't say anything different. I don't know. My checkbook never landed on zero. It's usually on minus something. So what I did over my day drives my accountants crazy because I run everything with a minus balance. I hide money in my checkbook, so minus doesn't mean anything. And they can't figure that out. And Wayne can't figure that out. He'll say, now minus 79, is that significant? I said, no. He said, okay. I can write a check. I said, right away. But usually, minus is real significant. And you've got a deadline. And the bank may say, the creditor may say, where's the money? 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 And then your mind says, now does the mind have to agree with the heart? The heart embraces the word of God. The mind may not agree with the heart. Mind usually says, it ain't happening. That's what we'd say where I came from. We'd say, it ain't happening. But everything you receive of God starts in the Spirit. And the Spirit doesn't feel physically. It doesn't embrace your checkbook. It has spiritual vision, not physical. And it is happening. Now, having said all that, here's the foundation. Look at Galatians. My, isn't this good news? Isn't this easy? My, we've made it so hard. So, but I don't feel anything. I prayed for one lady. She had injured, seemed like it was her knee or something. Maybe it was her back. I don't remember. But anyway, I prayed for her. She came down the front row where I was sitting one day at church and said, would you pray for me? I've done this, this, this. I said, fine. And I laid my hands on her and prayed for her. And she said, no, pray again. Pray again. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Pray again. What's she going by? She didn't feel any different. I said, you don't look any different to me either. She went, okay, here's the finale. Here's the final step. Verse 6, in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but what? Faith which works by love. Faith which what? I choose to receive what I need by faith. I decide I'm not going to speak to the mountain, I'm going to speak to God about the mountain. Doesn't matter to God which one you choose. Aren't you glad He gave you a choice? You know, some days I'd rather pray and other days I'm up to speaking. I choose. I'm not waiting on a gift. May not come. I'm going to use my faith. It always works. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to continually say, thank God. Yeah. And then I can do all of that and fail. Did you know that?
That's right.
I mean, you heard, you had words. You said, you believed you received, or you believed in the words you spoke. You can still die sick if you're ugly, unkind, irreverent, disrespectful, jealous, mean. Now, can I have electricity at my house and be in the dark? Why? I can be full of word, full of knowledge, full of faith. I mean, full of faith. I mean, if you elbow me, my mouth opens and says, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. If we were, I was. If I was, I am. And kick the cat, step on the dog, curse the children, plot for your destruction, hope you drop dead. And all of that word, all of that faith, it's not going to work. Faith works by love. Love is the foundation, the groundwork. Well, then I just check, make sure I haven't got anything outstanding, you know? That's what you do. We have a stack of bills. When they come in, I write the due date on them. And every now and then, I go to that stack and funnel through and see if anything has to go out today, if anything's outstanding, if anything important. should be moved with a stamp on it today. I do that the same. I just run through my heart. See, Holy Ghost in there says he constrains us. I just check and see if he's constraining me. Now, don't do what I call a witch hunt. Please, spare us. Don't hunt for something. It says he constrains you. Means he arrests you. If you're not walking in love, if you have something outstanding, something that you need to do to shore up your love walk, the Holy Ghost will constrain you.
That's right.
You know, you constrain your children. You know how to constrain a child, don't you? Constrain, restrain, retrain. The other day we were at a dinner at Christmas time and there was a little kid crawling under the table, under everybody's table. I mean, just going wild. Just nobody's paying attention. And, you know, it wasn't my kid. And my daughter looked across the table and said, they need more binding. They did too. You know how to restrain a child. You know how to constrain a child. Holy Ghost constrains me if I'm not walking in love. All I have to do is look down in my heart and say, oh, Father, forgive me. And then if you're involved and I need to apologize, I go instantly and do that. Now, I have to say this because people, it amazes me. Apologize to somebody that didn't know you'd done them wrong. I've had it happen to me. One lady said, you know, I've hated you. Well, that was a surprise to me. I said, why? I didn't need to know that. I did not need to know that. All she needed to do was go to God and say, I do not like Becky Cumby. I hate her and I've been wrong. She does not need to put that guilt trip on me. I thought all day, I thought, well, I wonder, was I rude or did I not speak to you or did you need something and I ignored you? I mean, I worried about it. I thought, how come she hated me? I'm really likable. And one day I had it happen twice, and the second lady came to me, and she explained something to me, and I didn't get it. I thought, what is she talking about? And I said, and I say that again? She said, oh, never mind. I'm listening to the devil again. I said, oh, thank God. Holy Ghost constrains you. He keeps you walking in love. I just check down there and see if I got any constraints. That's all. You want to be healed by gifts or by faith? You make the choice. You choose faith. You want to just speak to the mountain, or do you want to speak to God about the mountain? You make the choice. Isn't this good? Is God good? Is his word good?
Yes.
Well, we thank you, our Father. Your word is good. It is good. It is good. It is good. It seems good to my heart. We embrace this as the truth. And we thank you that it works. Faith works for all. We don't have to wait and see if anything good's going to happen. We can initiate. We can start something based upon the promises of God. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.